Retail Network, Kicking It with Six Eyes, ATL, Queen Nye, Pride and Joy, Nicole. Going to have a great show as always. So how is everybody doing tonight?
Well, I am awesome and glad to be here.
All right. So look, I'm going to have to pass out some uniforms for Jake's Fish. That's how that's going to go. Simple as that. So once again, welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network tonight. Let's check in with our mentors. Who else do we have with us?
We believe we have the Wolfgang, there's a 440-661, and there's a 336-293. Okay. 336, if you would like to speak, please raise your hand. Just hit the number 1, and we can open your mic, and you can join the show.
Yeah, so let's
How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing all right, Wolfgang, doing all right. So we're going to start with our ladies to see how their mental is doing, then we'll go with the guys, and then we'll go on with the show. Tonight, we're going to have a great show. We have our guest, Kimberly, going to be with us.
All right.
Kimberly Anthony, so... get ready for that. So welcome her to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Welcome her family, her friends, her fans to the show. And once again, phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. Once again, we're going to have a great show as always here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. So let's get these mentals out the way and get on with the show.
Well, I would say my mental is a 9. And this is Queen Nye.
All right. Great. Who's next?
Hello, I'm Miss Pride and Joy, and I'm going to say mine is 8.5.
8.5, okay. All right. Welcome. That is our entertainment reporter right there, Pride and Joy. And who else do we have? Sister Ruthie. Sister Ruthie, how's your mental?
She said she'd just rather listen in tonight, Six.
You know, no problem. All right. Well, if there's no more females, my mental is at 1,000, so that's a blessing right there. So how's your mental, Wolfgang?
Well, I'm kicking it at somewhere around 1,000,000. I'm doing pretty good tonight, but my health isn't that good tonight. I've been having a pretty rough cough, so I will be sitting back and listening to you tap tonight. I'll be begging off tonight for the tapping.
Well, you know what? Both pairs of tap shoes are asleep right now. there will be no tapping tonight here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. The next taps will be me sleeping. Amen. So, like I say, we're going to have a great show. Once again, like I say, welcome all the listeners, the new listeners here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. If you haven't done so already, if you are on Facebook, go to your social media and in the group, type in Six Eyes Radio Network. That is SIXEYES space radio, RADIO space network, NETWORK, and join that group. Also, make sure you check out the group AJ and the Squad. Make sure you join that group. They're trying to get to 365. Their anniversary is coming up on May 13th. We're going to have a Mother's Day, birthday bash, plus anniversary show. So make sure you check that out. They're trying to get to 365 by that time. So go join that group as well. And we're going to have a great show. I don't know where ATL is. Perhaps he's taken off tonight. So if that's the case, then I'll hold it down. I don't know if Nicole has joined us yet. So we're going to have a great show. And once again, hello to us around the city and states and faraway countries. We do appreciate you. our new listeners, our old listeners, we do appreciate you. So, our 440, are you here, Kimberly? Are you here?
Yes, I am here.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
We can hear you.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Hello.
All right. I'm just waiting on Six Eyes to see if he's ready to get the show started. In the meantime, let's see. I can play a commercial. Just one moment so we can pay some bills.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
Hey, Kimberly, have you pressed the one yet?
Love you.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
All right. Definitely no texting while driving. And also prom is coming up. So for you prom goers, please make sure you have a designated driver. Please make sure there's no drinking. There's no sort of drugs being used while driving. You don't want to be impaired while driving. We want you all to have a safe and wonderful prom. From the Six Eyes Radio Network, please be safe and watch out for drunk drivers because they are on the roads. And if you can do so, rent a limo. You know, let the driver drive you all to your prom. And be safe. But if you are driving, just make sure there's no drinking involved and you all be responsible and enjoy your prom here from the Six Eyes Radio Network. It's coming up in May, prom. All right, so we want you all to be safe. So, Kimberly, Anthony, welcome to the Six Eyes Radio Network. How are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
All right. So why don't you tell the world a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Well, currently I'm a missionary with a local church in Asheville, Ohio. I am a living relative of Susan B. Anthony. Some people also know about D.R. Anthony, or Colonel D.R. Anthony, I should say. He died a colonel. I should give him that respect. I generally will tell people about the pathway so they can trace my ancestry and prove that I'm a living relative of both. My uncle is Ralph Anthony III. Ralph Anthony Jr. is my grandfather, and then my great-grandfather is Ralph Anthony Sr., and his wife is Ruth Anthony. Now, they had three kids. I usually call him Uncle Jim, Aunt Jean, and then my grandfather. Technically, Aunt Jean and Uncle Jim are my great aunt and great uncle. But I tell people this so that they can verify that, yeah, I'm being truthful about it, because I think in this day and age, you have to kind of back up your facts.
And for our listeners, you are talking about the Susan B. Anthony that's on the coin, correct?
Correct. Yeah, she was also, a lot of people know that there is a constitutional amendment that people refer to as the Susan B. Anthony Amendment. I believe that was the 19th Amendment.
and let our listeners know what that is, because we've been out of school for quite some time, so let our listeners around the world and our listeners right here on the line tonight know what the 19th Amendment is and the initiative.
That was the amendment that gave women the right to vote. A lot of times during the women's suffrage movement, Susan argued that the 14th Amendment that gave men the right to vote actually gave women the right to vote, too. And that wasn't a politically accepted idea at the time. It was something that the women's suffrage movement really had to fight for.
Well, I have a question. This is Princess Knight. I'm sorry, Queen Knight. My question is, when did you find out about the history of your relatives?
Oh, it's something that I've known since birth.
Okay.
We were really raised to respect civil rights and justice from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I kind of tend to have a right is right and wrong is wrong. I'm very strong in that sense, as far as like my opinion goes. But politically, I tend to be a moderate.
Okay. Charles, did you have anything else that you wanted to add, or does anyone have questions?
I have a question. Okay, you said you're a missionary from Ashtabula, Ohio?
Yes.
Okay, well, just to let you know, you also got on the line here. I'm a missionary to the blind, and I'm from Ashtabula.
Oh.
My name is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, and you could find us on the World Wide Web at Holiness, you spell it with a Y, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org.
Oh, I will definitely look you up. Nice to meet you.
And the question is, what are you a missionary to?
I'm a missionary. I'd like to say that, I've been ordained since 2018. I am a missionary for anybody that needs me. Basically, I will help anybody for any reason. I recently helped another woman who was homeless. She ended up homeless in another state, and she had, I think she said it was family that said that they were going to help her out, so she moved to this state. But when she got here, they were like, I know we said we would do this, but we couldn't help you. And that she had nowhere to go. I helped her get into a place and helped her with all of the resources that she needed then.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lady that currently lives next to me. She needed some medical supplies. I helped her with that. Whatever is needed from me, I will generally try to hook people up with other people that can help them if it's not a resource that I currently have.
Okay, that was pretty much my question, so we'll leave it to the others if they got other questions.
All right. Does anyone else have any other questions? Okay. Going once.
Yeah,
twice.
You guys, I think you just started doing radio. Anybody got any questions for Kimberly?
Everybody's sleepy, I guess.
Anybody got any questions for Kimberly?
Well, excuse me. I guess my next question is, have you written a book or have you thought about doing a book or a documentary or anything?
I am actually a writer, but I do, I don't really write nonfiction. And I write screenplays, and that has been my career up until recently, which is why I started kind of realizing I needed to use my historical voice, is I was illegally evicted. My civil rights were violated. And actually, I think going through what I'm about to file some charge forms with the Civil Rights Commission, about 15 different accusations of civil rights violations. And that is what kind of provoked me to kind of think, you know, I have a historical voice with my family. I need to use it so that I can just get the conversation started that there are not enough protections in our laws for what I'm going to call vulnerable citizens or vulnerable people in the United States. That group would include, like, the elderly, the disabled, the veterans, anybody that is basically prone to be taken advantage of by the law. I think a good place that everybody would know, like, nationally would be Britney Spears being in a convertorship. I think that she would fall into the group of vulnerable people. And there's just not enough protections in the law for people like us. I think another point that needs to be made is we are the Never Leave a Man Behind nation, and we have Miranda rights because we protect innocence that much that it's necessary to court appoint lawyers when something is that serious and you are on trial. But we don't have those same kind of protections for vulnerable people.
Why do you think that is?
I think maybe that it's just been overlooked. And technologies have advanced to the point where it's pointing out that there are loopholes in the law.
Okay. Well, did you invite any of your family that may have some questions for us? Some questions for you? Anybody come out tonight or... I know you invited some people. If you want to speak, just press the 1, and your mic will be open if you have any questions for Kimberly.
All right. All the mics are open except for 1. So if you guys would, like to speak, please go ahead and let me know so that we can get you in the queue to speak.
Kimberly, mentioning the laws and the civil rights there, are you aware that the ADA, even though the ADA is a set of regulations, that even though they're regulations and they are guidelines for certain things to help the disabled, are you aware that they are only guidelines, that technically there's no bite to those rules, there's no penalties if a person does not follow them?
Absolutely, and that's very wrong. I think that people who, for example, somebody that is low sight or no sight, if they are robbed from, there should be penalties outside of simply filing a police report and doing that criminally, that you should be able to have more protections that protect you civilly. I had a friend and beloved neighbor who was completely no sight at all. And during Christmas time, somebody went into her apartment and stole all of her Christmas presents and stole all of the money that was there for her. And she had another incident at that time where another neighbor actually was going shopping for her. And instead of just taking a 20, she took $100 bills. I thought that was very wrong, but because there wasn't a lot of proof around the incident, there was nothing that could be done. How is that justice?
You know, it's not. And if people go back to the old saying, treat those others like you want to be treated. If we go back to that, it'll kind of curve those temptations of getting $100 when you only should have got $20. You know, a lot of that stuff would stop, but we just got to get back to good old values. And unfortunately, with the way the economy is, you know, you got a lot of people who are trying to be crafty as they can be, to increase their bottom line. And that's unfortunate, but these are the times that we're living in, you know, still dealing with this pandemic. I mean, we're not out the woods yet. Well, you still have people that will not, you know, wear their mask. You got grown adults that sneeze like they're 2 years old, you know. Just a lot of ignorance in the world, you know, that we have to deal with on a daily basis. But, you know, it's unfortunate that your friend got taken advantage of and they, you know, stole their money and their presents for Christmas. That's unfortunate. But there do need to be more laws to protect, you know, the people with disabilities.
Yeah, I agree. I know that there are some states that do have.
I'm sorry?
The American Disabilities Act. It's a law. I have the book in here.
But the point, Ruth, it may be guidelines, but unfortunately, there's no bite. There's no penalty if a person doesn't follow it. And a good example, it's somebody that you and I know, Ruth, but we're not going to say names. Landlord wouldn't permit the person to have their emotional support cats in the house.
Oh, yes, right.
And if they would have went and tried to press charges against that landlord, the landlord would have still gotten away with it. Oh, well, they got to pay a pet fee. They got to do this. They got to do that. And the person couldn't even have their emotional support cats.
Yeah, that's right, honey.
And the ADA, there wouldn't have been no penalty for them.
Right.
Yeah, the ADA is law, but there is no due process connected to it.
So
that basically means there's no judicial punishment for somebody that violates the ADA Act.
And another perfect example is the Internet, a prime example. They have guidelines for people who design and create websites. They're supposed to be accessible to those with disabilities, but very few follow that. And if you try to tell the website administrators about that, they ignore it. They just laugh you off and just ignore you. And even if you tell them, hey, I'm going to contact the Department of Justice about it, they laugh it off. Why? Because they know they can get away with it.
Yeah, there needs to be jurisdiction and actual fines, incarceration, whatever the penalty is going to be for taking advantage of that disabled person. That needs to be attached to the ADA Act because it's very hard to prove civil right violations, even under the Fair Housing Act.
got it, sweetheart. It's difficult because, you know, even though I studied some law, but I didn't do anything with it, really. But I do know something about it, and it's getting worse. People get incarcerated, and they're sent right back on the street, even if they murder somebody. Get over it.
Yeah, and that tends to feel empty for the family that's left behind of the victims that are left to live with the is that justice feeling in their guts.
Yeah, I think Nikhil studied so well like I did, so she probably knows all about this even more than me because I only took a correspondence course.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is DJ ATL. I saw y'all. I had an emergency had to do. I had to set the show up. I apologize for coming on just now. It's
not
pandemonium over here. I had a lot of police officers had to handle some people. It was kind of crazy. But I'm just glad everybody's here live on the Six Eyes Radio Network where we do it big time. You know what I'm saying? I heard what you were talking about with the internet and moderators considering, and me being a former moderator, I know a lot of times when these kind of when you're speaking to them on any issues and stuff like that, being a moderator most of the time, a lot of times we're trying to figure out what laws, what could be said, what's being driven. So they're not laughing you guys off. It's just that there's certain levels of junctions they have to look at before they can make anything, because you can't put motions into what someone's typing to you about. And sometimes people type, and I keep explaining this to people across this country, sometimes what you text and sometimes what you write can be meaningfully different than someone telling someone something. So sometimes people have to be very cautious on how what you're saying in a text, because it's not really a feeling to it, and sometimes a promotion. So you're not really sure what the person is actually saying, so you're trying not to run the different objects. So I just want to make sure I put that out there for you.
And how are you doing, brother? How's your mental?
My mental is great, man. It's just that I think there's a lot of things that our society has to realize. But I do want to say something. I know I'm taking y'all off subject here. There was a statement that was a guy, I think he's running for governor or something in one of the states, said something on social media that was very important, and I thought about it. I had to really thought, because he's talked about reparations, and I had to sit down here and think about this. And I know a lot of us have been talking about reparations for slavery, and you know, you can say reparation across the board for any demographic across this country. We can talk about someone feels that they're in need, their ancestors were dysfunctional. This gentleman said, which I thought I had to really sit down and think about this, and I've been really hardly thinking about this. No one really in America at this juncture in time deserve reparations. I had to sit down and say, okay, and look at this from a standpoint. And I said, I do need to share the truth on this. And I might almost agree with this person in some kind of way, because I think that it might be true. One thing, and if we talk about from slavery, some people that was in bondage, because there was white slaves, black slaves, Spanish slaves, and all those folks, they did everything they could do to get their freedom. They didn't have it. They had to give up their life, their gift, their specialness, and everything. Then you go to the three-fifths of a man where you're being disrespected as a human being. You was treated. Those folks. Now we come three different generations where we've been able to do what you want. You can say what you want. You can go walk with you. You can buy the shoes. You had all the opportunities where those folks did not have. But those folks had to sacrifice everything to get to a point. Now, someone asked me this question, and I had to ask myself, I said, if there was reparations that was given, what would it be given? At first, I would say, oh, if it would pay for college education, which I think would be the best thing, but for education, so you can bring yourself up. That's what I would think, reparations, or maybe a little land. But as far as reparation cash or money, I don't believe that. I kind of disagree, so I do agree that option should not be there. I think that in this day and time, yes, there was a lot of great people who was in bondage and back in those days, and they were treated wrong. But they gave up everything for this generation not to go through that. We don't go through that. We can walk. We can go to stores. We can be blessed. We can do anything we want. We can become whatever we want if we work hard at it. We can do the things.
Absolutely.
We don't have
Absolutely.
To go through those things. So I sit up here and I cry and I thought because I had to cry. I want everybody to hear me. I cry because I said my great-grandfather didn't have the opportunity. He deserves that, not me.
Mm-hmm.
My great-grandmama deserves that, not me. I walk and I got a job. I can do what I can do. I'm not being disrespected as a human being. I can't sit here and lie to the American people. I can't sit here and lie and say, oh, I deserve reparations myself. I don't deserve no reparations. I ain't gone through anything like that.
Right.
It is pain, definitely. It is pain. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll let you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, the whole thing, I didn't mean to jump you, but I did. The whole thing about it, man, if you ever get a chance to go to Washington, now we're 460 plus out of slavery, out of bondage, okay? And like you stated earlier, if we don't, it's because we're not applying. Whatever it is you want to do in life, you have to apply yourself. If we wanted to get a snack for the show, and if neither one of us has gotten up to get a snack during the show, I'm just giving an example, we don't want the snack. Okay? So you have to apply yourself with whatever it is that you want to do. Whatever it is that you seek out to do or become, you have to apply yourself. And a lot of people don't do that, you know. So they want to say, oh, the white man's holding me back. They want to blame that, and that's not the case. But what you don't know, and if you've never been to Washington, there's some books that are almost as tall as you and I, ATL. And those are some pretty tall books. In Washington, these books don't even look real, but they are. And it was blacks who still had people in bondage. Now, if it's wrong for one, it's wrong for all. But you know that, you know, the lighter hue got blamed for everything, okay? But we're 465 years removed from that now. So in this day and time, we have, like you said, opportunities. We have opportunities, but we have to work toward those opportunities. Nothing's going to just fall in your lap. And I think this is what a lot of people, you know, and God even tell you, faith without work is dead. So whatever it is that you want to do, you have to apply yourself. I don't care what it is. The smallest thing is getting a snack. If we ain't got no snack by the time this show is over, we don't want no snack. And that's just a small example that I'm giving you. The phone lines are open, 424-243-9617. We have our guest tonight, Kimberly Anthony, descended from Susan B. Anthony. She's on the half dollar. That is the half.
I'm not a descendant. I'm just a living relative.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for the clarification. Living relative of Susan B. Anthony. So we're happy to have you on the line. What we're going to do right now, hang out with us right now. We're going to shift gears and go to the entertainment news. Pride and Joy, are you ready with our entertainment news?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, for our entertainment, we're going to start off with where we left off with Chloe, and she was telling us she was going to be in a new movie, which is going to be in Praise This Film. And everybody was trying to figure out between the guys that was in the movie, which guy would she be linked up with. Well, the guy that she will be linked up with is Quavo. So right now, Quavo is in the public eye. And he's experiencing a lot of different things because we know that Chloe is fresh. She new. She exciting. She one of the new artists that are out here. She's been in some of the newest movies that got here. She's got big parts. And, you know, they was just asking them questions. So they asked a question about relationships. And Quavo brought something out of his mouth where he used the word that females don't like to be called. Just say that. He said that, and that kind of, which it rustled, you know, a lot of our women, it rustled our feathers. So they kind of having a problem with this relationship they was trying to build because she noticed that he's different. What I mean by that is he's different from being on the set from and then going on an actual relationship with her, you know. She's thinking she's going to get the good treatment and all that great stuff, but no, he's totally different. He's himself. He's what he really act like, and he called women what he really called them. So they have no problem with that because she's now thinking that maybe this is not the relationship that I want to be in. And they just met, really. I mean, they both are artists. That's true. But they're not artists that connects from time to time where we can say, well, they had a relationship. No, they just started something out fresh. And, yes, he has already, you know, called her those names that they don't like to be called. So what do y'all think about this? A fresh relationship and you're already being called names. And remember, this is also the one that also put out, you know, that she's not no kind of way ready for, you know, any sexual relationship, anything like that. She just, you know, just wanted to be friends. So what do y'all think about this?
May
y'all
I?
Think that this, yes, you can. Go ahead.
Well, good evening, each and everyone. Praise God for you all. I think a lot of times you look at something totally different. You think you can't shape nobody up because you really don't know them. She really didn't know them. You're just really getting a feel of them, just being in the present, you know. So you jump. You think in one thing. You think something. It's like you're acting and you're performing, but it's a totally different individual. You really need to get to know an individual, and you still don't know them until you just really, really, really get to know who they are, where they're from, get to know their inner man, instead of looking at what it looks like on the outside, because
Amen.
A lot of times the grass is not greener on the other side. And then when you're really not looking for something and you want to jump into it because of who you are, then that's where you make a lot of mistakes because you're going in looks first instead of going in, you know, knowing who the individual are, knowing their personality, knowing who they are as an individual. You know, and a lot of times, you know, a lot of women and men get into ugly relationships and so forth because you think that you know somebody and you don't know them. So first of all, you know, you went in blindsided. You go in blindsided in relationship because you really think that you got something or you really think that you own this something when you don't even have the inclination of who that individual is as a human being. You know, and then you're being called names already. You know, you didn't know him, so you went in blindsided. And that's why we have to take our eyes off of what it looks like and put eyes on what it is, you know, and that's just keeping it real. You got to stop being blindsided on both sides, men and women. You think you got yourself something, you think you got you a boo, you know, and then you got yourself something else that you can't tangle with. And then, you know, there's names calling and so forth. So stop going in blindsided. I think she went in blindsided expecting something that was not there, you know.
Yeah.
I'm completed.
All right. Do we have anybody
else? Evangelist Clayton.
Hey,
I agree with Evangelist Clayton. Amen.
Okay.
You know, just not going in what we hope for it to be, being open to what it is really. And it does take an amount of time for that. And being ready, once you understand that whatever it is what it is, being okay
mm-hmm.
with, hey, that's their personal decision on how they're living their life. But, you know, you don't have to double down for it or any of that. But in friendship, in that process that it takes, yeah, I agree, Evangelist Queen. Praise the Lord. And good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Good evening.
Yeah, I agree, too. It actually says in the Song of Solomon not to awaken love before it really has reached its maturity and before it has actually arrived. And I think it's for those same reasons, mm-hmm. because you really got to know somebody in order to love their spirit and not just what's on the outside.
Right.
Hey, can I say something, please?
Uh-huh.
This is Queen from AJN Esquire. Hello, everybody.
Hey, how you doing?
I think we're kind of, excuse me for my phone, I think we're kind of missing something. We're not talking about just your average young person and making these decisions. We're talking about a young lady who's out here in the spotlight, who's a celebrity, who's living a whole different life than just my daughter, your niece, your granddaughter. So the pressure for her is not going to be the same pressure for our relatives. So I think before we look at her as a celebrity, we look at her as a 15-year-old young black girl. And they're going to always get that trouble, that pressure. But her being in the spotlight, her pressure is going to be a little different than our pressure. So her decision is like, you know, she's saying she's not. But, again, her pressure is going to be a little mm-hmm. different. It's going to be pushed a little harder on her. Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of be a little, keep that in perspective for her, because she's going to deal with a lot more than just our children. Although our children deal with a lot, hers is going to be a little different than our regular kids. Not that she's not regular, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. excuse me again for my father. But yeah, I just wanted to say that. I'm going back on mute because my phone is messing up. But hello, everybody.
Hey. Do the guys want to have anything that they want to say on it?
Hey, what was it again? What was the story again? I'm sorry, this is DJ ATLM. What's the story again on her? I didn't hear what y'all were saying. I was busy.
I was saying that, you know, we spoke on her one time before, and the one time that we spoke on her before, you know, she had already said that she wasn't the type that was ready for sex yet. That was one of the things she said. And then she also talked about, you know, what she wanted in a relationship and what she didn't want in a relationship. She also said that she wasn't having no type of sex or none of that yet either as well. None of that. She wasn't into that.
Wait a minute.
But she
get
on this
talking?
Movie. We talking about the singer. You know, the two sisters, the ones that are up on the Beyonce.
Oh, okay. Beyonce girl group. Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
Chloe. I know you're talking about this.
Chloe,
Chloe,
the one that, yeah, that's the one. We talking about the one, yeah.
So what was the conversation? Her and what was it? Her and Clovo of Amigos of dating or hooking up?
Well, when we last read something on her, she was telling us that the next time that we hear her, she would be with a guy. She would be with a guy, and they was going to be dating, and that's how you could tell who it would be. So this is the next time, and it is Quavo.
Quavo's 23, 25, 26. No,
like
20, I think he's near 30. 24, 25. No, he's near 30.
Did I hear Sister Queen say the young lady's 15?
Yeah, he's near. I think he's near 30 because he's near 30 because he's been graduated. He's been way graduated high school. Let me say something, and I heard y'all saying that most girls around active from 15 to 20 years old, 21, mm-hmm. they usually is at trying to play around with guys anyway. You know, they go on dates mm-hmm. and proms, and just guys are active too. And I mean, and that's mm-hmm. a brag caller that we basically in this generation, because I've studied this generation, they're, you know, it's a bad caller because if you listen to the music grows these children up very fast. I mean, you can hear everything. Everything is tripled up because parents work all the time. They're not home. If you're a single parent, you know your mom's not going to be home. Your dad's not going to be home. So a lot of these young girls and guys, they grow up very, very fast, and that's what the adults want anyway because they just don't have time babysitting. I mean, these children have to be really responsible fast. So coming with that, relationships and all those things do develop out of these young people quickly. Just the best thing is that most of the things that I do give generations, that most of these young in this generation, least they teach these young girls and guys that, you know, there's a baby going to pop out if you do something. So they do take their time, they do think about it, and they understand the struggle because they get a chance to see their parents struggle. See what I'm saying? They get a chance to see the struggle. Then basically then the generations before, young people would go out, they know the struggle but not really take it that serious because they don't see the struggle. They don't see, they can still see their mom in the house. They can still see their brothers and their, I mean, their mothers and fathers around them. This generation doesn't have that. So I will talk about that another time because I do talk to some major celebrities about this because we had a deep conversation on this topic that leads into this, what I'm talking about. But I want to say this, that I heard y'all saying that she's just, because she's a superstar, that makes her, you know, she's not like every other girl. No, it makes the temptation 12 times more harder. Because now everyone looks and watch, and they look for these things to happen, and they put that extra pressure on them so they can reach out to do something stupid. And a lot of people say, well, yeah. Louis, that's a reverse, but DJ ATL, that's a reverse. I say, no, it does. It puts them in the situation, and if it's not out there, it's going to be created that it is out there. So our
but
society now creates a – go ahead.
Yeah. Everybody's going to try to be after her. I mean, she's a cute. Everybody's going to try to be after her. So you heard the saying, you got to beat them off with a stick. Well, she's going to have to use a tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And regardless, I don't mean to cut you off. I don't mean to cut you off. But I want to say this point. This is a straight point. Even if there's nothing going on with her and Quavo or anything going on with her at all, our society will make it up to make it believe that there's something going on. That's how our society works. Our society believes that everyone out there, I don't care how good a Q2 shoes you are, they will make up something to say, oh, no, to make sure that you're not, because that's how our society works. I wanted to make sure that everyone understands that. So this young girl could be the most standing girl. She could be outstanding, not trying to do none of these things, not be involved with none of the sexual, being herself. But don't worry, this media, this society will create it to say that she did. And whether she likes it or not, she's going to have to accept it to move on. She can sit and deny it. She can, or if she denies it, it becomes another problem. If she says she does it, it becomes another. So now she has to keep her mouth shut and don't say anything at all. So that's where this is where I'm trying to lead to. But I'm going to pass the ball back to you, Mr. Six Eyes.
Well, it definitely goes with the territory. See, everybody want to get in this business. But you know you got some things that come with the business, and you know unfortunately, peer pressure is not just for teenagers. Peer pressure, it's across the board. You know, and she's in this industry. You know, it's going to be people that's going to be after her, and like I said, this is where you got to have a good team around you, and especially. You know, I always said when women go on these jobs, even women, when y'all go on these jobs, try to take somebody with you, security or something like that. Because when you go on these jobs for these video shoots and movies and stuff like that, and the best example I can give you is Harvey Weinstein. Now, if you're not meeting at a Fridays, if you're not meeting at a restaurant, if you're not meeting in a public place, you know damn well not to go to nobody's hotel room.
That's right.
And he answers the door in a robe.
That's right.
Now, come on. That tells you right there, hey, we're going to have this meeting somewhere else. Get some clothes on. Let's go down to the lobby and talk. You know, and see, this is where people get into these high-profile jobs, and then they want to throw their weight around. And, you know, there you have it, you know. Harvey Weinstein, hey, you want to be in this movie, you got to play by my rules. And women shouldn't have to go through that. Because I haven't heard many stories of men, you know, being pressured like that. But it happens. I'm sure it happens.
Yeah.
But, like I said, that's a lot of pressure for her and her career just getting started. So, in her case, like I said, I would suggest to have, like, some, I don't know, some muscle with her. And then that way, you know, can't nobody try to take advantage of her, you know, if she's just there by herself because she's going there to work. You understand what I'm saying? She's going there to work, and that's what it should be about. You know, you shouldn't have to lie down on the casting couch you know, to prove your worth. I mean, your talent speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'm complete.
I just want to clarify for my own, protect my own satisfaction, that she's actually 24. She's not 15. I don't know how it got misconstrued, but that baby's actually 24.
Okay.
She's not 15.
Oh, Lord, if I was about to go, I said, well,
I just
wanted
to get that, throw that out of there. So
thank you, sister. You must have helped me.
She's a woman.
No kids.
She is actually a young lady. So
she's still a baby. She's over 18.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, y'all. Next is going
to
be
say, where is her people? Amen.
Right.
All right. Well, I guess she can handle herself then.
Right.
She's still a baby. She still needs everything you said. Everything you said, success is appropriate. I just got a little confused with the 15, and then I'm hearing some rusty man over 30 or something like that. I was,
yeah,
I went, my mind was going somewhere. Okay, I'm back. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say this too before you close it out. Now she's on the Beyonce. She
yeah.
And that in itself speaks volume within itself. Now you're under someone that you're trustworthy, and that kind of startled me too when you said 15. I'm like 15, but parent would let their child, you know, give the right,
amen,
to sign a contract your child out, but this young lady is grown, decision making. But my thing is, she's on the Beyonce, so wouldn't that within itself kind of like say this thing, you know, you watch what's in front of you, and definitely have an ear to hear what is being said and where you're going with this. Because see, a lot of times you find yourself in a war zone. You find yourself in a war net that you can't wiggle yourself out of. And then once those paparazzi get a hold of you, you're totally something else. And you become to be something else. It doesn't make a difference what celebrity or what actress that you are. Then you become to be something else. But then if you know, and I take nothing from Beyonce. You know, Beyonce been out there a long time, you know, and so forth. But too, when you get some type of direction from those that you're under, those that you're following, those that you become to be a part of, you know, and you can't go tail first. You know, the world says something else, but you can't go tail first. You got to go with an open mind. And you got to have a head on you. You can't just think it's all about that. But you got to go with an open mind, and then also you definitely got to be open to whoever, amen, that you're under and that you're following. I mean, you're part of Beyonce and Jay-Z and all of those. You know, I don't like everything that they do, but you know they've been out there, so they know the ropes. So when you are also concerned. Your liaison that you're under as well to complete it.
All right.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. I think that where we're getting a younger age at is when she's on the television show. I think it's where we're getting it. It's on a television show on Peacoat.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's called Praise Me, and that's the show where she plays like a younger,
young.
You know, the young girl,
mm-hmm.
the young girl. That's where she played a younger age. It's not the Quavo thing. It's the television show that come on Peacock that she's on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one right there.
Mm-hmm.
She play like me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Bless you, sister.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Okay. All right. Do we have any more entertainment news?
We do. Next, we're going to be talking about Jerry Springer Cause of Death Revealed. Longtime television host and former mayor of Cincinnati, Jerry Springer died from pancreatic cancer. That's what he had. A longtime representative. It was confirmed he was 79 years old when he died. They announced it on Thursday. That's where they announced it at.
Jerry's ability to connect with people was at the heart of his success. And everything that he tried, it didn't matter what he tried, everything was through his heart. Even politician, broadcasting, he would be joking, he'd be a celebrity one time. He just did a lot of different things. And all of it he done through his heart. We all know that that was a very, very crazy show. That show had a lot of things that other shows wouldn't put on there.
Jerry.
Put on there, but Jerry Springer is finally, Jerry Springer gone. So they haven't said what they're going to do with the show. I know they did finally show C. Wilco. First they weren't showing him because he was really, really sad. Yes, a lot of people did speak about Jerry, but he couldn't do it at the time. But at the end, he came out and he spoke a little bit. So I don't know if he's going to, go where Jerry's at now or who's going to be taking that place. But, he was working up under Jerry, and then he's got his own thing. So they haven't mentioned anything yet about whether or not he's going to take his place or not. But, yes, that's what Mr. Jerry Springer had. That's what he was
let's go around the room, and I'm gonna tell you, I grew up watching Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up watching him. But Jerry, like I said, he had a genuine heart.
Mm-hmm.
The most memorable episode I remember is when the Wayans brothers, Marlon and Wayans, shout out to the Wayans family, when they were on there,
mm-hmm.
And that was a good episode right there. A lot of fun. They all had a ball doing that episode. But if you go back to 1996, and if you are a WWF fan and ATL, I know you are, Razor Ramon. Remember Razor Ramon? Razor Ramon was on there. And it was these two cancer patients that was on there. And I tell you, you could just see the care that Jerry had for those two little kings and queens. And the little boy idol was Razor Ramon. So he was the little boy was like, if I ever see Razor Ramon, I'll get him in the ring he didn't know that Razor Ramon was there, so Jerry was talking to him, oh, so I hear you like Razor Ramon. Yeah, I like him. That's my favorite wrestler, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, what would you do if you ever get in the ring? I get him in the ring, I'll take him down. I'll take him down. And, when he said, hey, turn around. And when he turned around and saw Razor Ramon, I'm telling you, his little face, it could have lit up the night sky. Just how happy he was. And that was a real memorable show. If you guys ever get the chance, go back and check that show out. It's from 1996, Razor Ramon. Surprises. The little kid, I think his name was Tyler. I think his name was Tyler, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a little princess on there, too. But that was a real touching show. And it just goes to show you, Jerry had a great heart. His whole purpose of the Jerry Springer Show, when it got later on, he said the world is so crazy with chaos. Just for 30 minutes to an hour, I would like to have the world be able to laugh, And that was his whole premise of his Jerry Springer Show. It was a little bit of shock value in there, but for the most part, you knew. And the way I always knew, as soon as you heard that bell, ding, 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 and they had them little cups of water, I said, when somebody throw that water, it's on. And sure enough, when they threw that water, ding, 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 here they go. But just want to say rest in peace from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Jerry Springer, rest in peace from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Our thoughts and prayers goes out to your family, your friends, your fans at this difficult time. I'm going to pass the mic to somebody else who want to share some memories of Jerry Springer. And I'm complete.
All right.
All right. I'm sorry.
Anybody want to speak before I speak?
You can go ahead.
All right. Jerry Springer. Boom, Bakayat. Oh, boy. Whew. Jerry Springer. Me going to high school, because I know a lot of y'all might be a lot older than I was, but when I was going to high school, we used to have this little time, or when we were going to, actually some of my pre-college days. Watching Jerry Springer is a memorable moment of my life because we would see stuff that just, I don't know, it was entertainment. I mean, but it's, unfortunately, it was sad entertainment too, because I want to keep everything around. You got person cheating on each other, and the first thing we want to see is who's going to fight each other. The little bell ring, ding, 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 and we be going all out there, and we'll talk back to these folks, and we call them trailer trash because, you know, the audience will talk back, and they'll give their opinion, and, you know, and then some of them want to get the little dance on, and they get the little hats, or I forgot it was it little hats or something, they dance and move around. I mean, it was entertainment, and I think Jerry Springer himself was a very respectful person who was a respectful host. Even though he when he talked on there, he kind of gave a logic when he was talking to his people that he had on his show called the Jerry Springer Show, and everyone knows that. So I heard y'all was said something about who's going to replace him on the Jerry Springer Show. I think that show has actually been canned in because he had retired. Mm-hmm. He had actually left that show and retired and said he was going to spend time with his family. Fortunately, he passed. And I know before he passed, Inside Rizzo died because I had Inside. He did have cancer. He was told he wasn't going to live that long. But he'd been retired, so he did live a lot longer. Because God, like I tell everybody, God makes decisions here. I just let everybody know, God is in control of this.
Yes.
I don't care what you say with doctors and everything. God controls this. He takes his children when he gets ready, and he knows what's best, and he never makes a mistake. I just want to say that on front talk. I just want to let everyone understand that. Right.
Yeah.
So I want that to be said first. Right. Say first.
Yeah.
But Jerry Springer is very going to be very missed in a lot of ways because his spirit made people, you know, look at these logical things and say, wow, you know, he's saying common things while these folks are fighting in the upstairs. So even though it was entertainment, it made some logic sense to when he was speaking on it. But I'm going to go ahead and pass the ball to the next person that wants to speak on Jerry Springer. I'm complete.
This is Evangelist, and I'm grateful for the years and years that I've been entertained by Mr. Springer. Truly, what I get from the shows, not only the entertainment, but from the Judge Jerry show as well. You know, he hosted a judge show, and I love the judge shows. I love to watch all of the judge shows. You know, Judge Maybelline and Judge Million, and love to watch all the judges shows. And Jerry had a Judge Jerry show, and talking about a very positive man. One that didn't exempt who you were, whether you were gay or you were bisexual, whatever the case may be. He was not prejudiced when it comes to people with life and dating a man when you thought it was a woman that you were dating. They're entertaining, but then at the same time too, he brought some a lot of positive things out, and he didn't exempt anybody. You know, you could be from anywhere, you could be from the street, you could be homeless. You know, with Jerry, everybody was somebody. You know, he didn't discriminate against who you are. You know, what lifestyle you are, or where you're from, or street matters. It didn't make a difference. I remember the show where He had an older woman, very older woman, and he was dating this older woman, dating her, the mama, and supposed to have been with the daughter, but he was dating her mom. You know, so it brings about a lot of things, and it just shows reality to what's going on in our society, in our world today, that a lot of people try to hide and keep things undercover and so forth. But Jerry was one that just brought it out in the air. He aired it. But then at the same time too, there was a lot of positive that you got from it. And then if you wanted an opportunity, that was the opportunity with the Springer, because he didn't discriminate against no race, creed, national origin, or age. He didn't do that. So I'm grateful for the years that I've watched the Jerry Springer Show. And you can still go back and you can watch some of these episodes, you know, streaming and so forth. You can still go back and watch some of these episodes, which I don't think that it'll die out. I don't think it'll die. It will always live on, because it touched so many people's lives all over the world, not just one sector, but it touched a lot of people, young, middle-aged, college students, and older people. So he touched everyone's life, and he became to be a part of their household, where people was at. Oh, it's time for the Jerry Springer Show, time for Jerry Springer, time for Jerry, you know, and so forth. And so just to know the part, the lives of people that he have touched, not only in Cincinnati, but in Georgia, Florida, Alabama, wherever that you may be, Carolina, wherever that you may be, Chicago, Los Angeles, he touched so many lives, and his name will continue to live on. You know, even though he's at his resting place, his name will continue to live on in every household that had a Jerry Springer, you know. So he was always one that didn't hide anything. You know, he let it out, but then he came back and gave you the logical answers that made so much sense. So I'm completed.
Uh-huh. Thank you for that, Evangelist Clayton. And one thing about it, like you said, even though you may have had a show that was, you know, an interesting show, he always brought it home with his final thoughts. So he always left you something to think about.
That's right.
With Jerry's final thoughts. And like I said, it was just an enjoyable show. I used to record the show because I would be at work, and I had this VCR. It was a GE VCR. And the day I'm off work, I break the damn thing. But I used to record Jerry Springer. I used to record it. I would have my little videotapes, and I would record it. In this particular VCR, it was a GE VCR, and it skipped the commercials. And the day I was off work, cleaning up my room, knocked it off the damn TV, and broke.
Try again.
Okay. And I was cleaning my room and end up breaking the VCR. Well, it was interesting, but yeah, with his final thoughts, whatever the show was about, he always made you think. So I'm complete.
All right.
Anybody else, mm-hmm. Or are we the only Jerry watchers here?
And remember, premiere in 19...
Somebody's trying to kill somebody, man. Somebody's shooting some gun out there. Were they got some new magic gun they shooting with?
Please excuse, that's our sister Queen Knives background. She doesn't mean to do that. That's probably a piece of equipment that must be turned on. She doesn't mean it. But that's what that is. Our sister Mikhail.
Okay. Do anybody let's see who's a true Jerry fan. When Jerry's show went off, what did he say?
Oh, I know. Take care of yourself. and each other.
Yeah, you what? That's right. That's right. Take care of yourself.
Congratulations.
And each other. All right.
Man.
Yes.
That's what he said. Man. That's what he said.
Wow.
Yep. Sure did. I love that show, and it still comes
me
on.
Too.
You still be able to catch it on demand. It comes on. You know, that's one thing about these shows. Like I say, everybody know. If you know me, you know I love the old shows. And like I say, it's like they're right there. It's like you watch these shows, they're right there. You know, so this is why you have to appreciate the stars while they're here. You know. But the one thing I don't like, and see, I've never done this. Now, let's say an artist passed away. Oh, by the way, it's Willie Nelson's birthday. Was Saturday, so happy birthday to Willie Nelson. He is 90 years old now. So happy birthday from the 6 Eyes Radio Network, Willie Nelson. But you know, like when Michael Jackson passed, now. You got somebody that probably even got two of his albums, but after he passed, I got all his albums. You got all his albums, dude? Name them. I can name them, but name them. You got all his albums? Yeah. Which one you got? You know all of them. Well, give me a title. Well, Billie Jean. That's not an album. Now, Thriller? Thriller. Oh, okay. Give me another album. You know, you said you had all his albums. You know, I hate when they do that. It's like they get, after they pass, they got all their albums. So that's just interesting to me.
Exactly.
I got all of them. You do? All of them. Well, name me five of them. Well, what you mean? You said you got five, you know, all his albums. At least give me five of them. I may not have them.
Well, you know, Thriller.
Yeah, I know about Thriller.
Off the wall? Yeah.
Off the wall? Okay, give me another one. Good? Nah. Bad, yeah.
I got the greatest hits.
You know, oh, my God. It'd be hilarious. It'd be hilarious, you know. Give me another one. Yeah, history? Yeah. All right, you got Dangerous? Oh, yeah. What was your favorite song on Dangerous? Well, you know, Too many the name. Well, give me one. Man.
Yeah.
You know, so I love it. I love it. I can do this all day, but it's funny. It'd be the same thing with Prince. You know. So yeah, I'm complete.
All right.
Next, we're going to go to the Radar Online reported that Jamie Foxx fell ill while filming his Netflix movie, Back in Action, with Glenn Close and Cameron Diaz. He was taken to the hospital in Atlanta, where he required immediate attention. Jamie Foxx suffered a serious medical need attention right then. It was touch and go for days with him, and he had to be revived. He is very lucky to be alive, sources says. The desperate emergency room physician likely saved his life. He's very lucky that he got the treatment that he did. Kermit Fox gave fans an update about her father's condition on social media. After the episode, she wrote that they had to go into quick action.
He is on his way and ready now for recovery. So now they're saying that he's recovering in the hospital, and they said that he had a lot of stress on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're saying that this happened. He had a lot of stress on him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what I want to know? Oh, I'm sorry. Were you complete with Jamie?
I'm complete. You can go ahead because it's a little bit
okay.
more later.
So here's what I want to know. Here's what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, they had eight more scenes that they had to shoot with Jamie Foxx, eight more scenes that he had to do. And it kind of made me mad because it's like, I mean, the man is in the hospital fighting for his life.
Right.
You know, I mean, the movie company couldn't have waited until he got his strength back and waited and have him, you know, film the scenes when he was better. I mean, did they have to use a stand-in right then? Because at that point, it's like he's expendable.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, now I love the movie Ray. It's kind of like having somebody else play Ray, you know, it wouldn't have been the same. It wouldn't have been the same. I mean, Jamie Foxx is like he just became Ray Charles in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he had eight more scenes to shoot for this particular movie that he's doing before he got sick. I just think the movie company could have waited, you know, until he got better,
mm-hmm.
or does it not work like that? I mean, I don't know. I've never shot a movie, so I don't know if there's anybody that know. I mean, is that normal to do?
Yes, it is. This is DJ ATLM Styles being involved with XOD and being involved with movie projects. There are sensitive projects, and they're time-consuming. Time when they say they're going to release a movie, put a movie out, they have a time box that they have to deal with in a time zone of time pressure in it. So sometimes those things do happen where actors do get sick, and they have to do different things to replace that actor for that time because it's time spot. I kind of give you all an example. Let's say if I'm renting a ballroom, and I give mm-hmm. that infant, and I'm supposed to be out of that ballroom by 12 o'clock, you know,
okay.
because someone else is going to get that ballroom. It's kind of the same scenario with them more vastly at the time because of the spots they're in. So they have to do things in according to time to what the time frame is. So if they can't get Jamie and they say, okay, we'll look at their options. They say, hey, do we have a stunt double? We have a lookalike. Can we put somebody in there that kind of favors him so that we can put in there? And those are options that come in. Those guys are paid. There are people stand by who are paid to do those things. So that's good. You know, it's not going to hurt this level, but it gives another person an opportunity to make a living, to make some his work and get his craft out there. So you have to look at it on that point of level to understand the thing is. And I always talk about Hollywood because I have to be honest with people when we talk about Hollywood. Hollywood is very small, and a lot of times I have to explain this, that most of those directors, they have a backlog of makeup people, over 1,000 people for that one position. That one position, that main makeup person or that secondary makeup person, got a person that's probably got 1,000 people waiting to take that opportunity, to get that opportunity to be there. You hear me? And I even give you a great example that the producer Tyler Perry uses. There's 1,000 people trying to hope to get the position that Tyler, that guy never becomes sick. He always there on every project for Tyler Perry and his makeup crew. So I try to get, and that's why I say I go to this, that a lot of times those kind of scenarios, when you do get a chance to get an opportunity, now with that person who got the opportunity to stand in for, now he might get an opportunity now to get some more work to make a living for himself being in the acting field. That's just how it works. So I tell people all the time, you know, one of the biggest things that was told by Chris Rock, well, not Chris Rock, but Chris Tucker said, he had to go to California, get in one little small scene. He played a small scene, which he thought was not going to do anything for him, and that small scene got him hooked up to get him into some more bigger films. And once he got the opportunity, it kept him going so he could get to the biggest opportunity. And that's where we look at Chris Tucker today, because he got that opportunity from being in small films to get to the next level. So, but he had to have someone else that was supposed to have been there call out so he can get that opportunity.
Gotcha.
So does that make sense to you, Six? Does that make any sense?
It does. Thanks for that. Thank you for that clarification. Because, I was just taking it personal. Because I'm like, well, damn, I mean, he just got, you know, let him get well first, but, you know, you said, you know, you got to stay in a timeline.
Yeah, you got a lot of people out there who wait for that opportunity, man, and they get that opportunity. It's not second Jamie at all. Trust me, Jamie's okay. He got his. He's fine, man. If they can figure out how to work that around it, Jamie's good with that, man. He's not worried about that. That's to get that person opportunity. So that person got a free opportunity. Now he might be able to get some more work with some other projects now because of that. And now he can feed his family, can move his dream or whatever he's trying to do, his American dream. Now he can move it forward. I'm proud, you know. I'm proud that that happened, and I'm proud of that guy to get that opportunity. I know he killed it once he got the opportunity. I know he killed it so he can get more work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're live on the Six Eyes Radio Network, y'all. That's how we do it.
He's drinking that coffee. I love it.
I hear someone said they had a question.
Yeah. Kind of referencing the Jamie Foxx thing. Can't actors sometimes request that, no, my health is too bad, I'm going to need somebody to finish this up for me? If they're, like, conscious, not in a coma, isn't that something that can sometimes be written into the contract?
Can I say this, because I do deal with that field right now. I'm actually being trained into that field now as executive. When it comes to negotiations and actors, when it comes to their contracts or how many time and how many things there is, they always do have back decisions. Sometimes some of these actors would always have what they call back support actors, too, that they know personally. And these people, they can always say, hey, this person's dependable because I've already worked with this person. He knows what I can do in a film, and I've trained him to back up me, too. So that is another option, too. Some of the actors do that. Some of the actors have that tied in with the people who actually work, the agents that actually work that in. So there's always something tied in to make sure that the actor's going to get his compensation, and also the movie can still be going. Because if the movie, the way the actors get their compensation is this movie has to come out. And it's a time frame, and I keep swaying the people to time frame they is. When they have to push a movie back or push a movie forward, that it hurts the film. It hurts the project. So basically when they have to push it forward, that means that more things, that there's something scheduling that has to be shot. So that means the actors have to move faster to get the film done. Or when they push it back, that means there's more time. So in this case with Jamie Foxx, they didn't want to go forward because they knew he was sick, so they said, hey, let's just go ahead and knock this out so we can move this forward and so we can get it out the time we need to get it out, which they all agreed to.
Okay.
And isn't there a cost per day production to our brother ATL? Like they lose, like if they push it like so much per day, like even if, say, an actor's sick that day, the main, whomever is the main actor, they have to, was it like they say, hold or halt production or something, but there's even an expense attached that affects the bottom line, right?
Right. It is expense. When actors are made, the actress and major part project is not there, major people who are not there, it does. It's expense. Like I explained to you, it's expense. So it costs more. It pushes the budget. And like I said, most of the time they approve a budget because, like I tell people, movies are not cheap. We're talking about the grosses of movies and what they actually take to cost it. Some of it costs about $10 to $13 million. I mean, well, let's say $5 to $6 million that's just the regular movies. And you're talking about high action films, you're talking about $23 million. And a lot of that money has to be recuperated, and it has to come back on the end. So there's funds that has to be in. Then you're dealing with bankers. You're dealing. I'm gonna hit around the head with you. I'm going all in. You're dealing with banks. You're dealing with investors. You're dealing with people who really got in. So it's always best that they have backup plans, because you don't want to tank. A lot of times, like I tell people, we see these movies pop out, and we be like, oh man, them movies are real good. But if those movies don't make the gross, you won't see another one. If those TV series are so good, but if it costs too much to gross and costs too much havoc to do, you're going to see them pass. That's why you see them cancel and move on. Because it's a very expensive thing to have, and very expensive to think the production to do, and you just have to have everyone really committed to it. And it's not easy to get people committed to certain things, a lot of things. And like I said, if Jamie Foxx was very, very, very sick, you probably would have not, this movie would have been pushed way, way back then and wouldn't agree to the time. Well, I tell you what, let's tackle this, because I'm glad we're on this topic. Let's go to the Black Panther, you know, my man who passed on that. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of turmoil in that because he had already agreed to do the second one. You see what I'm saying? But he passed. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't find, and in that situation, they couldn't really, they didn't want to generate another actor, and they wanted to make sure that the general actor that did play him was generally at the standard to push the movie. So what they did, they put back to the other character, the female character, which is the sister in the character, and they made that character play out in the movie of the part two. And that was a steal at that time. It was a timely, sensitive situation where they had to hurry up and get this out. They couldn't really go and try to cast another Black Panther, so they went on with the budget because they knew if they had to bring in another actor in, it was going to cost a good amount of money to put in, because they'd already committed their money to the other actor who had passed. So they didn't go back and recoup the money. They just went on and committed to let's use the actors that we already have around us. So okay. That's how that concept was played. So if everybody saw that, what they did is they built up the movie. And if you watched it, I give people, I know everyone hadn't seen it, but if you have seen it, you know at the end they talk about the son that he have just way down the line, so they can bring another cast, they can cast another black male Black Panther. So it's just interesting. Mm-hmm. Like I said, again, it comes down to storyline, it comes down to budget, it comes down to, and everything is a time-consuming thing. It's all timing and what time they get these movies released out, what's their competition, what's going to be open. Most of the time they don't know what's going to be playing, but it's all time, and everything is in schedule and timing on how this. Because the investor wants to see his money recoup at a certain time. The banks want to see their money recoup at a certain time. So they have to do whatever they can do to manufacture those things and make those things happen. So, and those agreements, like I said again, those agreements, sometimes some actors do have some bigger major actors who have control, who can come and play that role in case they get sick or play a role. Also, some of the suggestions also go to the director. Sometimes directors have backup people who are lookalikes that can play these roles too. So all those things are being, those things are all being talked about before they even start, before they even start filming. So they have all those things in place.
Okay. Okay. So the new movies that's coming out is Air, the Michael Jordan story. That's coming out. Also, we have the George Foreman story that's coming out. So make sure you check that out. And the still the number one movie in the country to date is Creed 2. That movie, they said that movie is doing so good, and that's a good thing right there. And that's a good thing. That's great. All right, you all are enjoying the 6 Hours Radio Network. We are here 7 days a week. Put this number in your phone: 424-243-9617. Now on tomorrow at 12 Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Get your praise on without leaving the house, 6 Hours Gospel Show. That number again is 424-243-9617. So if you don't have a church home, come to Six Eyes Church tomorrow. Get your prayers on without leaving the house. With great music, scripture, and music. And who's frying chicken in the basement? Wolfgang, was that it with the entertainment news, Pride and Joy? Or did we have some more?
No, we have some more.
Okay,
the next one I want to talk about is, go ahead.
Okay, and then after we do that, we're going to do Slam the Scammer. Are you still with us, Wolfgang?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, all right.
Okay. All right, the next one that we're going to be talking about is a superstar rapper canceled his concert in Atlanta less than 24 hours before the show. He announced on Friday night that he had to reschedule his show that was set for Saturday due to unforeseen circumstances. This is a 40-year-old rapper, and his real name is Dwayne Michael Carter Jr., so we know who that is. Lil Wayne.
How about Lil Wayne?
So, yeah, Lil Wayne did it.
Uh-oh, what Lil Wayne
did? But see, you got to realize that he's been traveling since April the 4th. He was traveling in May, and now he got concerts for this week. He was doing, like, this big tour. He probably tired.
Mm-hmm.
He's 40. Anyway, he's probably not taking his one-a-day vitamin.
Right. So he apologized to the fans, you know, about they weren't going to be able to do this Carter tour. He was going to have to change his dates that he was saying. He's going to have to change his date is what he was saying, and they was going to have to come. The last stop is going to be in Alabama. So when they get to Alabama. But these people, you can tell that he don't cancel a lot of them because somebody asked him, how many more concerts are you going to cancel? So.
Wow.
Hope that he feels better. Hope he gets better.
A lot of money on the table. You're leaving a lot of money on the table now. Was he going? Was
right.
those concerts through Live Nation, or were they just regular concerts?
It was where he was doing a lot of them, so it had to be around. He did it from, let's see, it was going to be from April. He's going from April to May. That's what he was doing. And it's a Carter tour. A Welcome Carter tour.
Oh, it was so there was a tour. Was it a tour?
Yeah, it was a tour. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, he's leaving a lot of money on the table. I mean, that's a lot of money on the table.
That's a lot of money, but he's still good.
Is there insurance for that, brother?
Well, the thing is about that's loss in revenues that does go because there's agreement when he signs with these groups. There's agreement that when you're dealing with a touring company, you're dealing with Live Nation because Mumbai's Live Nation. There is agreement, so he's breaking most of those agreements. If he's canceling shows out. Depends on what these shows were. These shows, were they not being, ticket sales were being poor, more likely might be it. Or two things, just some issues, family issues that can't get the people they can't get around to the function of the date. But how many he just canceled, sir? Did they give you a specific reason why they canceled the shows?
No, they didn't give you no reason. They just told him that he's going to bring them back and, you know, they're going to be going to Alabama. But they never mentioned nothing else about it.
They're rescheduling, so that's more or less a lot.
They're
going to
do them at a later date.
Yeah, he's going to do them at a later date. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's money, didn't he? Because most of the time on those groups and those kind of touring contracts like that, that money is already guaranteed, so he's already seen the money up front. He's already got his money. So, but as far as the company concerned, they're the ones who actually make the profit off the doors in the arena. So that's why I was looking at, because that's lost money when it comes to an entrepreneur and those people.
Mm-hmm. Here's my question. So Will they still honor those tickets at the later date? Will they still honor those tickets
yeah.
for the people that bought those
to.
Tickets?
Yeah, yeah they have
yes.
to. That's law. Yeah, they have to. Yeah,
okay.
they have to honor those tickets. And it depends. More likely, they're going to bring those dates back within a year. They're going to do it within a year. And those prices, the tickets that sold there, they definitely is. Because or else they do a one-stop money back. And most of the times, these companies with Ticketmaster, they're not doing money backs. They just push mm-hmm. the date back so the customers have it. So, because there's a lot of confusion like that a lot of times when they say they're going to give money back. Because a lot of times, mm-hmm. some people would say, okay, I got my ticket. And then some of them don't never even go back and try to get their money back. So, you know, and then they wait 3 years and 4 years. Oh, I want my what's the average ticket? What now go $100 and $10? They go back and say, well, you know, the ticket. I got a ticket from Ticketmaster Lil Wayne concert. It was $110, but you know, I'm coming back now, and it's been 4 years, and I'm saying oh, I want a $215. I mean, you have characters like that who would, then that's why I said they don't do money back. Most of them don't do money
and
back.
And I want a free beverage.
So,
I want a brief
yeah,
free
so
beverage.
They don't want to go into that. So, but, right. So what they do is they turn around and just do the honor tickets. Now, like I said, again, that's the option you have with the tickets is that mm-hmm. people do a lot of eBay selling. A lot of people sell their seats. Y'all know y'all go to eBay and go to a lot of these tickets. They got these tickets. Because we just had Janet Jackson and two of the biggest ones, Janet Jackson and Taylor Swift, coming to Atlanta. And I'm going to tell you, Taylor Swift came in Atlanta, and both of their shows were put back because we had the Hawks in the playoffs. So they actually pushed rescheduled Janet Jackson to just here in Atlanta. They rescheduled her show and brought it Saturday night. And they played the fastball game,
show,
I think, Friday night. Right. So
they had a Friday.
I think she came in. I think she must have came in Thursday, and I think they rescheduled. I think the finals on Friday or Thursday. I think the final was Friday or Thursday, one of the two. But they pushed both of the Taylor Swift show back because she was at the stadium, and Janet was playing. I think she was playing over at Phillips Arena. And they pushed both of them back because the Hawks was actually playing in Phillips Arena. They had a home game here. So that was another reschedule through Live Nation. So they pushed the day back, but the people who had the tickets was honored. Now, if you had those tickets and you know people wanted to go and you couldn't, but both of the shows were sold out for Taylor Swift and Janet Jackson. So if you went to eBay, you probably would have went and said, I couldn't go that night now because they changed it. You probably got a good amount of money, somebody trying to get those tickets. So that's the thing about that I say in the free enterprise, that they allow you to sell these tickets to get into these markets. So that's why I say a lot of times they don't really do cash back on these tickets because they know people can turn around and sell them and get enough. Now, if someone says Lil Wayne's coming back in the next, let's say next, I'll give a longer time, let's say he comes back in the next 4 months, they do whatever advertising. That ticket price that they pay for now would be 12 times higher because now they're having more, those tickets would be harder to get. So now people have to go to those off sites who bought these tickets to pay for them. So if you was a big Lil Wayne player and you didn't get a chance to buy these tickets and this get canceled, and let's say you want to really go, you might pay up to $600 or $300 up to $300 to $600 for that ticket. Because you'll be trying to
I won't be seeing Lil Wayne at those prices.
Because one of his fans said that they've been waiting 23 years to see him.
Mm-hmm. And some people will pay. If you got the money, now, again, this is the thing, and that's why I tell the United States we have to understand, in our country, we have the means to come across money, to take money. So if you feel that that's what you want to do, you want to spend $300, you really want to see this person that bad perform, you have the opportunity to go pay and to pay what you want to pay for this guy. So if you want to be in those bleed seats for $300 or you want to be in that VIP spot that's be in front with T.I., you can pay to him. If you have the means to do it, you can go get $2,000 and pay for that front row ticket to be in front to see Lil Wayne. So that's why I say you got to understand the options of where things. Like I be telling people about Beyonce. Beyonce's show was very expensive to be up front in her row. I think it's what, I think it was like $6,000 or $7,000 to be up front. And that's
no,
just the middle section.
Not me. I'm not paying that much to see Beyonce.
Well, you got to say that's not much money. And that's how much money those tickets are going for.
It depends on how bad, it depends on what you want.
And I tell everybody my thing. I'm not too interested in paying that kind of money, but if this is what you want to buy, you want it. If you want to buy a Mercedes-Benz and somebody can, you got the money to buy it, you, like I said, you have the means to go buy and buy it, you're going to buy it at the going price it is, and that's what you want to do, and you have the right to do that. And that's the thing that I tell people where we, going back to what I was saying earlier, the generations and generations before that didn't have that opportunity. So you have an opportunity of doing things, coming up with those kind of, going to save money to get those kind of things. And so you had to do, and you, for you to be able to do those things, someone had to lose their life and lose their gift and had to give up their life. And that's why I say, I had to think about this gentleman. I said, man, damn, I can't argue with that guy when he says this about reparations for this generation, because I said, you can't. You just can't. I mean, it's hard to argue that, because really we have the reparations. We have it. We can go get it. We can move forward. We can do the things. Think about it. Jamie Foxx go for about $20 or $30 million a film. See what I'm saying? People gotta understand that. $20 million or $30 million a film for him to do. That's his average. And he can get more. He can get more than that. You got athletes out here who demand $100 million contracts, and they're African Americans and white. They can ask for these big, huge contracts. Those are dream numbers. The football players back in segregation, coming out of segregation, they couldn't even ask for that. They didn't make that kind of money. So that's why I say the opportunities was not there like that. I mean, my God, you think about it, and I have to even take it at a small level. The opportunities that we have are so huge that you could be someone just coming from just being in middle school, getting ready to go to college. Now where they're getting things set up, where now you can be a multimillionaire just going to college and playing basketball, or playing football, playing sports, being a doctor. All these, they got money now where options can, there's things that can actually get opportunities. If you get it, you're gone. You're done. You could be set for the rest of your life. So that make any sense? Do I make sense to you guys? So you have to, and that's why I try to tell people, I just wanted to bring him up, what he said, because I want people to understand the consciousness of that, and where we start saying reparations. Now, not everybody says, yeah, you know, but hold on, DJ PL. Everybody ain't living like that. But yeah, but again, you still can be, tomorrow can be right here. You can end up being tomorrow being up here somewhere else. So the same guy who might not be homeless right now, because there's stories right now, there's people who was homeless, who didn't have a house, didn't have a car, didn't have food, got out there, took a little money, saved it up, got that, got back to life, got built their life up, and right now they're multimillionaires. So it's an opportunity. When you get the opportunity, you just have to do the best you can do with it. So I just want to pass that to all my elders, even my elders. Even the elders now who came from those bad times, they actually now opportunities. There's pastors who pastor small, mega, small churches who can come in and talk so good, and now they get an opportunity to pastor mega churches, and they're making, multi-millionaire. They're not just millionaire, they're multi-millionaire, like the pastor said. So it is a thing out there. There's opportunities. It's not like these things are not there. So... And it's hard to generate this, because it goes to real estate. You can get land right now. You can take land right now. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just killing it. I'm killing it right now. But I got to say this. There's people right now who flip real estate that's multimillionaires. They just had a little land. They took and flipped it, and now they're doing very well. So like I said, there's just so many opportunities out there where you can actually have what you have. So it's not like we're not opportunized to be able to be better at what we are. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to pass the ball back to anyone who else wants to speak. So I'm tired. No, I'm tired, but I mean, I don't want to be holding up the mic. I know someone else wants tired to hear me. It's your boy, DJ TLS Styles. Passing the ball to the folks, man. We go out here on the Six Sides Radio Network.
You know, hold on.
Before y'all jump out of that, I know there's a story I do want everyone to hear. And I know you got it, Entertainer Report. We need to go ahead and go to the Smokey Robinson situation.
Let me say this before we go to Smokey Robinson and abandon them. I want to say this. The young man that was on the street, young man that was homeless, a young man that had a desire to want to be better, and not only helping himself but helping others as well too, and giving opportunities for others. You know, we got to realize you can gain the whole world and lose your soul behind fame and fortune and selling your soul to the devil, selling your soul to the devil. Now, I'm talking about Tyler Perry, multimillionaire, and got his own studio right there in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, and just go to show you that you can do anything you can have because faith has allowed us to have. And what you do with it and how you work with it and what you do with it is solely left up to each individual. You know, you got these, I heard you say, DJ ATL, talking about the multimillionaire churches, you know, where they prominent money makers now, because they're not about the souls now, but they're about the dollar bills, you know, and so forth. We sometimes being on that high horse, and you know, I know probably about a month or so ago back that there's a young man, a rapper, was selling his tickets for $900 there out of Houston, Texas. Tickets $900 to see this young man, you know, and so forth, and you know, and the enemy terrorized and plays on those that is self control. When you selling your soul to the devil behind selling gold and houses and cars and Mercedes Benz and navigators and whatever that they want to call it. And God wants us to have the good of the land. But then we must have things in decent and in order as well too. And then what you put in is totally what you're gonna get out of it. And I do understand we have actors and we have artists and we have all type of money makers, you know, and so forth. But it takes money to make money, but it also takes honesty.
Mm-hmm.
It takes honesty. Being honest and treating people fair will get you far more than you being that high horse up on a hill where you so high there can't nobody darken your light. We definitely got to be helpful to one another. You see someone struggling, and because you on that high horse now, you overlook them or you bypass them. You bypass them to somebody that does struggle, that's trying to get into college, trying to get into school, trying to do something positive. But it takes those on the high horse to push them down and let them know that they're less than. You know, and it takes each and every one, you know, because the same one that you pay is going up, it's going to be the same one that you're going to pay is coming back down. You know, and so that just behooves us to treat people fairly and do the right thing. It doesn't make a difference who it is. You know, and I look at Tyler Perry, and I look at all the opportunities that he's given so many different people, and to own his own studio, have his own studio right there, and then make it an opportunity, amen, to also assist the elderly in having their own home and buying their own home, having something that they never had before. It's a big plus.
in the eyesight of God's people. And that's what we are about, is being helpful to one another. I'm complete.
Missy, you talking about when Smokey Robinson said he had a relationship with Diana Ross while he was married. Is that what you're talking about?
I guess okay. That's what he was coming from.
Oh.
Off we go. Let's go.
Am I all right?
Well, please don't take it personal. They forgot to go on self mute. Six, are you able to send a text message out?
He let this out. What I was trying to say, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but he let this out the bag. He the one who advised this and decided to come out of the bag and say this. So I want to know what everyone thought about him coming out and telling everybody that he had an affair with Diana Ross under his first wife.
How long that been?
I know.
This was talking about, they were talking about this like 1 day ago, 2 days ago. Yeah, it's now. But not the affair wouldn't be now, but they've been talking about it since then.
Well, again, it wasn't something that someone said, okay, we found out you had an affair. He just came out and said this. So, and I thought it was interesting, and he said it was a great relationship with him and Diana Ross was on. He loved every minute of it. Which was very funny, you know. I know he divorced his first wife, so it's interesting that we went to this point to talk about. So, and, you know, if you hear one of the what I thought was fascinating, I was online. It said, "Man goes around telling Diana Ross business." So,
Oh no!
Yes.
Wow. He said, "Man,
yep. So, you know, he when he was married to Claudette Rogers for 27 years, you know, she's 80. Everybody knows she, you know, he's about 83 years old. You know.
Yeah, that's what they said. He's 83.
Right.
And he said he's still sexual.
Yeah, and he still active.
Okay.
So, I don't know. And this is the thing that I just thought was fascinating. All right. Can we do this? Can we try to say that is he flirting back with Diana Ross by saying this? Is that what he's trying to do?
Yeah, he said he feels sensual, so I think he's revived. He's feeling, you know, new again, so he feel like he can say these things now.
He's well, you know, vibrant.
He should. Let me say this. It's a lot of things went on, 27, 28, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It's a lot of things went on undercover. You know, and the song popped out to me, "Someday We'll Be Together." You know, so it's a lot of things that went on undercover, and now you can talk about it now. You know, you can say something about it now. Doesn't mean that I still have a thing of flirtation. It's so much that done went on. If walls can talk, and hotels can tell who done been in them.
Well,
you know it'll tell a whole lot of stuff. And it'll shake a whole lot of households, you know, and so forth. So it's so much that done went on, you know, in life and in term, you know. I see where Patti LaBelle is what, 7, 8 years old. She's 7, 8. I think she's 7, 8. But Patti LaBelle has found herself a boo, you know, right now. Right now, and she's still, you know,
amen.
Got it going, amen.
Right.
You know, and so forth and so on. You know, this gentleman is not known, but he's just a regular guy. But she's 7, 8 years old, and Patti LaBelle has still got it going on. So, you know, we just, you know, where you find love at, it is what it is. And the tears of a clown, you know, there's no one around. So, you know, it tells a whole lot. It could tell a whole lot, you know. And if so many others would come out, you know, but then what business and what difference does it really make now? You know, it is what it is. It didn't happen, you know. And someday they were together, you know, some night, whatever. But, you know, if, like I said, if hotels and motels and Holiday Inns and Motel 6 can tell who done been in them and who turned the lights on or who left the lights on. That's right.
Right.
It wasn't all that stuff.
And that's true. And that's true because a lot of people don't be honest.
Right.
A lot of people not honest about whether they with somebody or not. So that's easily
right.
to happen because people will say in a minute, just because they want to be with you, they'll say in a minute,
right.
I don't got no girlfriend. I don't got nobody. I don't got nobody. Got nobody.
Right.
And they next thing you
never
know,
lie.
You'll be like, what?
Exactly.
A whole family. They got a whole family.
What?
A whole family.
Well, a full set of furniture, okay? Yes.
What?
You're right.
Exactly.
But this was so funny because I was riding with my friend one time and then she seen her husband with somebody. And she was supposed to forget. She was the driver. She tried to hit him with the woman with my part of the woman. What you doing?
Exactly.
You better hit him with your part of the country. He was driving and she was trying to hit my part with her arm. It's your part. Don't be hitting me. Trying to hit me with the car. You hit me down on that side. You the one trying to kill him, so you need to go on that side again and get him with it. It's the wrong part of the car.
You know, it's a lot of saying hit the road, Jack. Don't come back no more. And Papa,
don't come back.
Papa was a rolling stone.
He can roll on up out of here.
Right.
Sister, you reminded me of agony. What is it? You got to have a, what is Smokey Robinson? You got to have a agony or something for the ecstasy. Now you bring all these songs back now. I'm like, wait a minute.
Right.
Now.
Yeah. All songs coming out. All those songs are coming now, buddy. They all come. Can I say this? We know a lot went on. Is it now because of social media? Has social media woke up this whole crazy culture now so we can actually have these kind of discussions on talk shows
right.
and have people
mm-hmm.
say? Because back in the day, I remember when people say, you got something going on, you keep it in Vegas, you don't talk about it, you don't have. But now when I look at social media, it's like everything is out there open. I don't care what
right.
age you are.
You didn't have social media back then, so it didn't come out as much either. Because you didn't have social media back then, so.
The deacon and the pastor and everybody's playing with each other now. It's just like everyone
exactly.
got their chest out. They got their chest out. And as soon as someone commits, they're like, oh, yeah, we. By the way, I did this. Yeah. So it's kind of
right.
like it's a whole new thing on how they got our society is. It's just a trip. I just thought, to me, when I saw Smokey Robinson said this, I was like, okay, well, you know, don't you know that y'all were having a fit? You know you were married? You had, what about the kids?
Right.
you gotta add all this because this is turmoil right now. Now the kids have said, wait a minute.
I fucked my daddy. Right.
You know,
oh, Lord.
I don't want kids on. Your son, and now you got. We talking about grown, blown adults now, trying to see out what the hell they started on, trying to come out and say stuff like that. So,
they're
right now trying to hurry to get
Smokey
to the microphone. Talking, man. This is what I'm deciding to comment to. It's nothing but confusion and destruction. That's why I said I wanted to really talk about this one, because I thought it was interesting. Because then when this came out, the question came out, hold on, is Smokey Robinson the baby father of Diana Ross?
See,
now all the confusion break out now.
But I saw Barry Gordy.
I thought Barry Gordy dated Diana Ross. I didn't know Smokey Robinson dated her too.
He did. He did.
Yeah. Well,
wow. It started Barry Gordy.
Yeah, Barry Gordy in the middle of that too. So I mean, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, and it's nothing. The generation goes on. We know a lot of these things are going on in kids and that. And you know, I'm gonna go ahead and break up another story because we can talk about the story now. Open rocks. I know everyone knows about this. Remember, Michael Jackson and Mickey Howard? They did have a relationship. You know, they had a child together. B. Howard is actually Michael Jackson's son. When you know the family and everybody hears that for decades. But see, check this out. If we had media the way it was today, it would have been just a story and everyone knew it. But by not being the internet, it's not exposed as it was. Like I said, right now, B. Howard is the remembrance of Michael Jackson. If you see him, you'll say, oh, he sounds just like Michael. He looked like Michael Jackson. And now the family says, oh, yeah, this is his son, but we wanted him not to be in the limelight. They can say that now. But I just think about it. Like I tell people, all those bad history things that we heard back in the day, if there was an internet, man, woo! Oh, boy.
Right. And like the dancers play, you said, if the walls started talking, you know, so.
Yeah. It's a whole nother day and time, and I look at this now, and I say it's amazing. I used to think that most people wanted to have their private life. That's what I would think. I would even think right now that what's name would not even come out and say this. I thought that maybe
he
say nothing. But he came out.
Just let it go at this point.
Yeah, it just changed changes the whole game now. I'm like, now these guys are reaching. They all reaching. I don't care who you are, you're reaching out now. So it is what it is. It's kind of bad now because coming up with Chloe, like we was talking about Chloe earlier, is 24 years old, not 15. I mean, like I tell you, you can't hide from nothing. You can tell people you ain't having an affair, but you have an affair. It's going to come out any way you look at it. It's going to come out. So you can be quiet, it's still going to come out. You can say something, it's still going to come out. So it's just, you got no, you just don't have a chance on this. You don't. You got no chance.
Let me read this.
But it's
Let
classic
me read this.
What y'all was talking about. That was classic.
Okay.
I got to get
this article
that.
Real quick.
You guys with your network.
Let me read this.
What you think?
Let me read the article real quick.
You going to read the article? Wait.
For all you women. Okay. The heartthrob of the 70s. That's right. Jimmy Walker Dynamite is back. Women can win a date with Jimmy Walker. And the women of the 6 Eyes Radio Network are eligible to go on a date with Jimmy Walker. So which one of y'all going to go out with Jimmy Walker?
JJ.
Yeah,
JJ. Jimmy Walker.
JJ. Okay. Maybe we should pull straws, but I'm not available to go out on a date. I don't know. Maybe none of us are available right now to go out on a date.
You
cannot be available, right? I mean, you cannot be available to go out on a date. I'm just saying, right?
Listen,
right?
Listen. So I had Jimmy Walker call it. So he called it.
Have him
Jimmy,
call back.
Jimmy, I'll call you after the show. Y'all treat Ray J wrong when he come here. Y'all treat Donald Trump wrong when he come here.
Well,
now, everybody here is watching good time.
Have you had coffee? Have you had your coffee? Six, did you have a late night cup of coffee? No? Oh, okay.
No, I'm not drinking no coffee this late. Next thing I'm going to drink is sleep.
You said someone said you can win a date with Jimmy Walker?
I don't know if someone said it, but someone we know just said it. We'll say that, brother.
Listen.
I tell you one thing. These days, man, these guys they got the world at their feet right now. These folks will run for that right now. They'll line up for that one.
Yeah.
I'll see them line it up.
Dynamite.
Dynamite. They'll say, hey. They'll say, oh yeah, you know.
Next thing I know, Tony the Tiger is going to be wanting to have a date.
because, you know, he's great.
Right.
Great.
Kimberly, are you still with us? Are you enjoying the show?
Yeah.
Do you, do you know who Jimmy Walker is?
Yeah, but only through, like, not, I'm only 38, so I only know through older relatives.
Okay.
Jimmy Walker, what? Good time on Dynamite.
Now, what kind of coffee you had, ATL?
Well, I know, we can't ever forget him. Man, you know what? Those are great role models, man. I used to love Jimmy Walker. Cause he used to make, he always had something bad to say about them every time she come out with a dude. And you know that one dude that he used to always hang around, he used to always come up. He always tried to, he never gave up. He always tried to holler at her, and she always didn't pay no attention to her.
He's talking about his friend Hoppo. Thelma, Thelma.
Thelma always gave him this cold shoulder. I felt bad for him.
He said, Thelma, I'll tell you what, Hoppo. He said, meet me in the park. All right, the park. Under the statue of Jimmy Carter. He said, statue of Jimmy Carter. Wait a minute, Jimmy Walker. They ain't got no statue of Jimmy Carter in the park. But when they do, I'll meet you there.
Yeah, she did. Thelma used to cheat on him. She used to drag him out, man. I used to feel bad for him. He always, every time he see Thelma, he always had something. He always said something. And, you know, I thought he was respectful, too. Sometimes he was respectful, and she treated him like a dog. She dogged him out, and I thought that was bad. But, hey, that's why you had Jimmy Walker there that kind of, like, let her know, put her in a place. Because I thought he was, like, a put-her-place thing. But women didn't look at Jimmy Walker. Jimmy Walker was really a man's hero, man, because he was a skinny dude, but he was a dude that really had some sense, man. He was kind of cool at the same time, you know. Women, let me ask the women, what did they think? Did y'all think he was cool or not? Didn't he act cool or maybe he did have a little coolness going on?
Yeah, like
I don't know about that, but
I thought he was pretty cool.
Hey, I don't know about that, but speaking of celebrities that would like a date, I know one that's not a movie star, et cetera, like that, but he is a celebrity here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and is unattached and would love to get a date from a nice lady.
Who
might that be, Missionary Wolfgang?
Evangelist Timothy Gruber.
Oh, well, that is true, isn't it?
You know what? So we gotta set that up.
Yeah, because he's over in Scotland right now.
Well, hey, I'm supposed to be the anybody looking for a date with Timothy, they just get in contact with me. I'm supposed to help him set that up. So you just get in contact with me.
Yeah,
he's
searching the world for his wife. If I remember this right, correct, Missionary Wolfgang?
That's right. So, hey, right now he's totally unattached and still praying for a wife. So anybody that love to be a missionary's wife, there you got.
He's 40, right, Ken?
I think I'm going to have to double check that with him, but I know he's up in his 40s, and he's never been with a woman. He's saved himself for marriage.
All right, let's check it out, see what happens. All right, let's get with this Lamb the Scammer here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Lamb the Scammer.
All right. So tonight, Slam the Scammer is want you to know, surveys beware. Surveys beware. Now, you're wondering why I say that. Many times you get either phone calls, texts, emails, what have you, and they want you to do a survey. And, of course, there's a lot of good surveys out there that are legitimate, and they want you to basically, they don't want any information from you. They just want what your opinion is. It could be political. It could be about whether you've had anybody with cancer in your family, whatever. But they just have a legitimate aim to find out, age ranges or whatever or demographics of basically different things, such as, different things they're trying to find out. Or say, for example, we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network wanted to do a survey, and we put out a series of questions each day on the programming, and we asked people to send in via email their opinion of what they thought of our programming, and they send in their responses. And we just tell you, no, we don't want your name, address, or anything like that. All we want to know is basically how we're doing and which shows you like, which shows you don't like. That would be a non-threatening survey, and that's something that I would encourage everybody to kind of respond to help, because these people are legitimately looking for information, obviously, to find out how they're doing or whatever they're trying to find out. However, there are those bad surveys. When they ask their questions, they also want from you name, address, stuff like that, that is really not necessary. If a survey is asking you for personal information such as name, address, phone number, something like that, I would take that survey and throw it trash, because what they end up doing with that information is they could pass that on to other people. For example, if they're using an email survey, most likely they will pass on your email to others. And then you get a bunch of junk email, spam email that you don't even want. For example, if you respond to a survey via email to a particular thing about, let's say, boots, next thing you know, you've got all these companies that produce boots and shoes and whatever that you didn't even write to or didn't have nothing to do with. Or you say you go and you do a survey about a suit place that you liked, a particular suit, and they wanted to know how you were treated at the suit. They produced a suit, tailored suit, and how they did you. Next thing you know, you get all these suit companies writing you about suits. So I suggest you beware. If you do use an email address to respond to a survey, use a email address that you do not primarily use. For example, use your primary email address for friends and family, but use a what they call a spam email address, one that you never use for friends or family and that you would give out to somebody so that when they decide to send you junk, then they send it to this junk email that you never use. Another example is when you get telephone calls. If they start asking for personal information, hang up because of the same purpose, because they will try that. Recently, I received a telephone call from a so-called survey, and that's what they started to do, and I hung up immediately. Didn't give them any information because they tried that, and they were looking for information that I was not willing to give because they were going to end up passing that information on to other stuff. And you want to be watchful of that because they will pass that on to others because they're selling that information. And they're the ones making the money. You're not getting no money for doing that. And then beware of these so-called surveys where they promise you some sort of gift. Oh, well, if you fill out our survey, we'll give you a $25 gift card to Walmart. Well, in order to fill out that survey to get that gift card, you have to all your email, your address, all this to get the card. But then they take and they use that and sell that information to others. So once again, surveys, beware. And I am complete.
Wonderful information, Missionary Wolfgang. Thank you so much, as you always do each week. You and Sister Ruthie enlighten us on how we can basically stay away from the scam. So bless you for that. Looking forward to what you bring to us next week as well. Thank you.
I had the same thing happen to me several times, and I have a little fun with them. Sometimes I'll say, watch it. We got this one traced. In other words, they'll be scared off and won't call me again. Because I get so sick and tired of the same old people calling me, oh, you want to get on Medicare? I got to get on Medicare. I'm not even eligible for it. So usually I just don't bother. You guys, I don't know if you'll get that kind of call when you turn 63, but I'm 63. And they said I could be waiting until 66 to be retired. So a lot of that stuff you got to be careful, like he was saying.
Right. Now, I had an idea. I read about this a while ago. I don't know if it's still a thing or not. But there used to be, for phone calls, a phone number that you can overlay onto your phone number. And when they try to hit you up with the telephone survey or the telephone congratulations, silly banana message that you won this exciting whatever, if you had an overlay number for calls you couldn't identify, meaning calls that aren't saved to your contact list, they get a this phone is no longer active. And then they take you off the list because, of course, they can't. They think that your phone isn't any good, so it's no good to them because they can't get their scam over on you. But I don't know if this is still a thing or not. It was before the pandemic when I read it.
Well, you'll have to check into that to see if it's still active.
Okay. Wonderful.
Well, it's DJ ATLM Styles. I know we're kind of late. We're round the time now. We're getting into the 2 o'clock. We're way over our time. I know we're chilling out, having fun. But we got to go ahead and get ready to end the show and try to set up for next week. I'm definitely going to definitely have Wolfgang and, Six. We're going to have all this stuff come back. I know we still got to go into, and just to say something, scamming is very huge these days. I know they just said that there's some new technology they're using now when you email to get you mixed in and get all these calls. There's a lot. But let's go ahead, Six, you want to close this on out right now so we can get on and get set up for the show tomorrow. Check out the 12 o'clock church service live here on the Six Eyes Radio Network with Pastor what? What's the pastor name, y'all?
Pastor Bonnet.
Yeah, Pastor Bonnet. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you what, he does a great service, man. And I'm going
to
tell you,
sleep,
but you ain't got a church, huh? Yeah, y'all
no,
got to. You got,
going
what
to
you cannot
sleep.
Do?
You go to sleep.
Yeah, I don't get no sleep. I'm losing callers.
Good night, brother.
All right, man. Hold on. You don't wanna let everybody know about tomorrow morning because they need to know, man. That service is off the chain, man. You get your fixing on. You get your six in. You get everything. You get your knowledge, man. You get fed. And I think that Pastor Bonet is a great pastor. So y'all definitely check him out. Tomorrow morning. So, Six, what you want to say? You out?
Yep. So, everybody, thank you. Put God first in all that you do. Tomorrow, the gospel show, 12 Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central. See, I'm sleepy. Okay, let me try this again. I'm sleepy.
Uh-huh.
All right, so that is 12 Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, and 10 Pacific. Good night from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Love you all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye, everyone.